Hello and welcome everyone. I thank you again for joining me this Sunday evening. So recently this evening, I was watching a movie. Was about this man, and he was married, and his wife ended up dying. And one of the things that he said when he was at the funeral services, someone was coming up and trying to console him. And he looked up at the individual trying to console him, and he said, "I didn't know my wife. I did not know her." And this brought him great remorse. Very oftentimes in life, the way we relate to each other, we relate from this place, a place of ego, a place of we live in our mask, and we don't know each other. In fact, many of us, we don't even know ourselves. We don't know who we truly are. I had someone recently come to me, very funny individual. And she came into me and because she was interested in meeting with me about my spiritual teachings and doing some counseling work with me. And as she sat down in my office, she right away she started telling jokes with me and really messing around. And she was, an extremely funny person, almost like a stand-up comedian. And I noticed right away that she had no idea who she was. She was simply speaking to me through this mask that she had developed. And most of us live our whole lives through this mask. We get some idea that, I'm a big shot business person. I'm a Tai Chi instructor, I'm a healer. I'm a conservative or I'm a liberal. Whatever it is, most of us, our mask is made up about excuse me, our mask is made up about 15 different things. Our gender, our age, our socioeconomic upbringing, or has to do with our education. And then a lot of our mask has to do with our survival tendencies, our survival traits, the things that we've adopted. And the thing about this individual who came to talk with me, she developed this sense of humor. And she lived through just being this funny girl, making fun of herself and making fun of her others. Always having a very positive attitude. And her mask, it was a really nice mask. It was a funny mask. It was humorous. It was lighthearted. But I looked at her. And in a roundabout way, I said, "Why don't you drop it, the whole mask thing? Why don't you drop it?" And see what I see. See what I see. And so this is the great invitation of spirituality, a true spirituality, is for us to drop out of our mask and into our direct experience. Now, for many people, when they learn to meditate, what they're meditating upon is their mask. They're sitting with their mask. They're noticing all the different thoughts that the mask has, that their conditioning has. They're noticing the emotions that come forward out of this mask. out of this personality sense of self. And most people, that's as far as they take meditation. They step into this role of being a witness, and they just witness basically their insanity. But I invite us all, right now in this moment, to drop deeper, to descend deeper into ourselves, and to discover what is beneath the mask. Who is it that I truly am beneath this personality sense of self? Who is it that I am? Who is it that's here that's beyond being a teacher or a student or a healer or a wounded individual living in victimhood? Who is it that's here right now? What is it that you truly are? What is it? What is this presence that you truly are? And so each time we meet, I invite us to drop all the conceptions, drop all the dogma, drop the silly thoughts of this and that. And jump off the cliff of personality. And give yourself permission to free fall into the nature of your soul. To fall into your divine presence. To fall into your sense of aliveness and absolute divinity. And I invite you to discover this divinity throughout the entirety of your form. I invite you to let go of your mind and descend deep into the space of the third eye. Deep into this space of silence and absolute brilliance. I invite you to relax the throat chakra. And to give yourself permission to step more deeply and fully into yourself, and to step deep into the space of the heart. And notice the subtle radiance, the subtle depth of innocence within the space of the chest. And yes, we can acknowledge that sometimes when we come into our chest, there's emotional pain there. But in this moment, I invite you just to descend right into your heart and to feel directly your brilliance, feel directly your beauty, your aliveness. Your sense of goodness. And luminosity. I invite you to go deeper still into your third chakra and your second chakra center, the solar plexus and the lower belly. And begin to awaken the presence of power, depth, and paradoxical emptiness, like a formless, rooted emptiness. It feels much different here than in the space of the third eye, which feels timeless and vast. I believe in the Sufi traditions they call the Harisan or the Kath. That's what we call it in the Diamond Heart tradition. You step into this, to step into your power, to step into this space of empty solidity. It's a very paradoxical experience as you come into these centers. I invite you to go even deeper and feel into the root chakra, to connect with the earth herself. To connect with this feeling of being supported in the world, empowered, embodied, rooted. This space of divinity giving birth into matter. And so as we open into all these centers, from this place of being spiritually awake in each of these centers, I invite you now to open the seventh chakra, the crown chakra. And call into you a sense of divinity, a transmission from above. Call into you this absolute brilliance. Open your doorway to the divine. Right here, right now. Open this doorway to your God-given right. Your right to experience God in every moment of your life. To experience grace in every moment of your life. For we are not only made in the image and likeness of God, but we are God, Himself, Herself, in the form of you and I. Invite this greater divinity in. Claim it as your own nature. Humbly open and receive something wonderful. Something absolutely wonderful. And so I invite you to continue to experience directly the fullness of your nature and the fullness of grace, eternally being born into you, eternally descending into you, eternally awakening within the space of you. And so this evening, someone sent me a question. And it's a question that I get very often. But as I go into responding to this individual in this individual's question. He's a fellow teacher friend of mine. But I invite you to stay with your direct experience. I invite you to have all seven chakra centers open. As you're listening, I invite you to eternally fall into the silence out of which the words are arising. I invite you to experience directly what is here in this moment, to experience this transmission first and foremost, this transmission of your own true nature, your own absolute divinity. This is your time, our time, to be fully present to our God-given nature. And so sometime this afternoon, an old friend of mine, he sent me this question. The question is about teaching. It's about teaching and training. How much training do we need before we go off and teach? And so the first thing I would invite us to do is to destroy any notion of teacher and student. All of us are teachers and all of us are students. All of us are welcome to stand in our God-given authority at any moment in our lives. I've worked with many teachers many counselors, many yoga teachers, many healers who said to me, I want to share, but I'm not sure if I'm allowed to. I'm thinking I need to get some more training. I think I need to go and get a yoga teaching certificate. I think I need to go to school and get a master's in counseling. I think I need to be fully enlightened in the space of the head, the heart, and the gut. I feel like I need to do all these things first before I open up my mouth and speak about the divine. And from a practical perspective, yes, all of this is true. It's great to have those letters after your name and the diplomas and the certificates. And I have letters after my name. I might have to take a moment to remember what those letters are. You know, I have diplomas and this and that. And they've always been helpful. What was helpful was being present with the teacher, being present with the book you are reading, being present with the course you are taking. And actually learning something. Learning something not as a new dogma, but something that you put to test within your own life. Within your own life. So many people are very schooled in non-dual philosophy. Now, I was recently at the Science in Non-Duality Conference in California. There's many individuals there who are very, very smart, very, very intellectual, who knew the Vedic scriptures, who knew the philosophy and the teachings inside and out. They developed this incredibly logical and rational framework. And when they repeated it to themselves over and over in their head, it seemed as if they had convinced themselves that they were enlightened. They were very good at philosophy. Something I am not so good at is philosophy. I can't keep them all straight. But what I pay attention to as a teacher is the direct experience. And from this perspective, any of us are welcome to teach as long as we live in our direct experience, as long as we are teaching from our direct experience. So this individual, he asked me this really beautiful question. He said, Craig, I'm thinking about getting a MBSR certificate. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that's a certificate. It's a training in mindfulness-based stress reduction. It's a program that was basically started by Jon Kabat-Zinn, I think at the Massachusetts Medical School, but I could have that wrong. And he's someone who studied the Dharma for, 20 or 30 years. And he took the word Buddha out of it. He took the word awakening and enlightenment out of it. And basically he developed a number of tools which are very helpful for managing stress. And so my friend was asking me, Craig, do you think I should get this training? What do you think about the training? Is it helpful? And yes, from a marketing perspective, yes, it's probably be helpful. From a training perspective, it would probably be helpful. But what is truly helpful for students, what is truly helpful for other individuals in our sangha, in our spiritual community, what's truly helpful is that we teach from our heart, that we live from our heart. If we speak our own truth directly, not a truth that we've learned in a book and learned to memorize, not a training modality that we learned. Many of us have had this experience of going to a counselor. And the counselor will say that stereotypical phrase, how do you feel? Tell me your thoughts about your parents. And oftentimes that counselor is simply parroting things they learned in graduate school. And so if we are a teacher, if we're a healer, if we're a priest, a pastor, a monk, a reverend, whatever it is that we are in this spiritual community, however we're marketing ourselves, however it is that we are showing up in the world, it's important to remember we are always transmitting. Whether we are a great guru sitting on a lotus flower, a Tibetan master sitting on a lion throne, a school teacher, a massage therapist, a healer. A father, a mother, a sister, a brother. All of us are transmitting from our direct experience. And so the question is, from what perspective are we transmitting? Are we speaking? Are we living in the space of freedom and speaking from that place? Or are we simply repeating something we read in a book? Are we parroting back non-dual phrases that we heard at the last conference or retreat we were at? When we parrot back phrases, When we quote great masters but don't know that truth within ourselves. It's the same as throwing seeds on concrete. They don't take root. The gift of a true teacher is they speak from their direct experience. It's one of the few things my teacher Ajay said to me about teaching. He simply said, Craig, speak the truth from your direct experience. Because I told him humbly, I don't know all the philosophy of non-duality. I don't know how to argue with individuals and win an argument. And frankly, I have no desire to argue with others. My only desire is to speak the truth that I know. The truth that I've realized within my heart. And one of these great truths that's very, very important, especially if we're going to be a teacher, is to realize that there is one human mind and everyone has it. Everyone has it. That story I was speaking about in the beginning about the man whose wife had died. And he said, I didn't even know who she was. When we live lost in our own self-obsession, when we live lost in our own world of samsara, all we know is our pain and suffering, or our wants and likes and dislikes. But any of us who've been humble enough, who've taken the time to sit with our own mind, who's been humble enough to sit with our own hearts, we don't only know ourselves. We know the entirety of the world. We know the entirety of the world. Oftentimes when someone new comes to me and they said, Craig, you won't understand me. I've been through so much. And I laugh. Because I know I can sit with anyone. I have yet to find an individual who's come to me and I do not know their experience. If any of us are humble and we spend hours and hours sitting with our own mind, our own heart, our own humanity, we can discover the entire world within ourselves. The entire world. We can find absolute pain and suffering and anger and greed, lust and confusion and ignorance. We can find every hell realm and every divine realm. If we truly want to be awake, what's required is that we are willing to sit with every aspect of ourself. And when we sit with every aspect of ourself, we see ourselves everywhere. Judgment falls away because we see ourselves everywhere. And so this individual who was saying to me, Craig, I feel unqualified to meet with some individuals who are really deluded or who have PTSD or intense emotions. And I told my friend, I have total faith that you have what it takes to sit with them. total faith. But I invite you to look into your heart and see how your heart responds to PTSD, to pain, to suffering, to insanity. Don't ask your mind, and don't go looking in your toolbox. The toolbox being those lists of certificates that we've received. You know, we're a Reiki master level 6, and we're a massage therapist, and we know hypnotherapy, and we study this thing and that thing, and we have a certificate in Buddhist meditation, and, you know, all these silly things, which are wonderful things too. Don't go looking in that toolbox of how to respond. Ask your heart. Have faith in your heart. Every great training, every great healing modality arose out of an individual who had a big heart. It arose out of the heart. And so the invitation here is, if we're working with others, if we're working with ourselves, because it's the same thing. Anytime I'm teaching, I feel as if I'm simply speaking to myself. Sitting with myself, opening to myself, loving myself. There's no teacher and student here. There's simply lover and beloved. It's simply a matter of opening your heart and speaking from your heart. When we think we know better than, when we think we are enlightened and the world is not, when we think that we are the healer and we can fix another individual, when we see others as broken and us as free, we should realize quickly we are the one living in samsara. The true teacher sees herself everywhere. Everywhere. Sees love everywhere. Sees divinity everywhere. Sees growth everywhere. I know I spoke about this last week, but I was speaking, you know, a little bit about when I was at my teacher Ajay's house. I was really reflecting on, why is he so popular? Why is it that everyone loves him? It's because he is so comfortable in his humanity. Anyone who comes to him, he happily embraces. Everyone looks up to him as an older brother, a best friend. And so a great teacher, no walls between himself, between herself, and the world. No walls. And that includes no walls of training. And by that I mean, I can't tell you how many healers I've been to who looked at me as a broken individual and thought they would fix me. When I was experiencing my Kundalini awakening, it was so intense that there were days when my body would have seizures, when I couldn't talk, I lost my memory. No one could touch me. And all sorts of healers and Kundalini yoga teachers and chiropractors looked at me like I was broken and thought they could fix me. It's a very disgusting feeling to have an individual look at you like you are broken. But a true teacher, when they look out at their students, they see God. And sometimes God shows up with PTSD. Sometimes God shows up as a victim. Sometimes God shows up in intense pain. But what a true teacher does is sees the individual's absolute divinity. That's what is actually healing. When people come to me, I don't see anyone who's broken. I simply see God sitting before me. I am blessed by their presence. I am blessed by your presence. So it's the willingness to be open, to see and live life through the lens of your heart, through the direct experience of your heart. When our spiritual teachings or our spirituality leads us to a place of feeling superior, there's something radically wrong. And so when individuals come to me and they say, Craig, I want to teach, but I'm not enlightened. I say, yes, please teach. Share from the beauty of your heart. Share from the beauty of your heart. What is satsang? It's sharing your divinity, experiencing the divinity. It's coming together in the space of truth. Coming together in the space of truth. It's choosing to live a life, not just for 1 hour a week. It's choosing to live a life in direct alignment with this space of absolute divinity. And yes, we are always transmitting. So the question is, from what space are we transmitting? Are we transmitting from the silence of our minds? Are we transmitting the compassion and love and dignity and beauty of our hearts? Are we humbly open to the descent of grace and intelligence from above? Are we listening to God's grace, God's intelligence? Are we heeding God's call? Are we coming into alignment with God's grace? Or are we transmitting our anger about the current political climate? From what space are we transmitting? Are we transmitting anger and judgment? Yesterday I posted online the talk I gave at the Science and Non-Duality conference up on my YouTube channel. I recorded the talk and I put it up. And within a couple of minutes, my phone started lighting up with people telling me, "Oh, Craig, I really enjoyed your talk. Thank you so much." And I felt this transmission of love from these individuals, many of them who I had never met. And then some individual came on and started attacking me. It's funny, I don't know how it works, but on my phone, the comments light up on my phone. I didn't set it up that way, but it's just one of the things that happens because my phone is synced with my Google account. But And then I noticed some people were coming online and attacking me. You know, telling me I wasn't a good Christian or, you know, something like that. And I felt that transmission too. The transmission of anger and judgment from these individuals. And of course, in this moment, I have a choice. Can I be with them in a space of love? Can I give them the freedom to be a fundamentalist, if that's what's true to their heart? Can I give them the freedom to have an opinion of me? Can I give them the freedom to be angry and judgmental and not worry about what it is that's going on within them? I know all those things within myself. I know anger. I know judgment. I know righteousness. And I know the pain that's associated with all of them. And so we have a choice in a moment like that when someone's attacking us, or we feel something uncomfortable, or when someone throws something at us that we don't understand. We have the choice to respond with love, to respond with peace, or to fight back, or to believe their comments and start judging and attacking ourselves. But if we are rooted in true nature, we are humble and open. And comfortable with whatever it is that's in the room. And by comfortable, I don't mean cozy, like, oh boy, this feels so good. By comfortable, I mean we know these things. We know them intimately. And so, yes, back to this question. If I want to teach, and this individual who sent me this question, I want to teach, but sometimes people come to my classes and they have intense emotions. They have PTSD, they have trauma, and I don't think I'm big enough to deal with it. But I encourage you, be big enough to deal with it. Your heart is big enough to deal with anything. Your heart is the love and the innocence which outlives every experience you've ever had. There's something quite profound about that. Your heart is big enough to be untouched, to remain absolutely innocent before, during, and after all trauma you've ever experienced. Get in touch with that heart. Respond from that heart. Live from that heart. And you will know the space of all true teachers. One of the great energies, again, one of the great energies of a true teacher is they can sit with anything. Nothing overwhelms them. Because they are rooted in their heart. And all of us have this same heart. All of us have the heart of Christ, the heart of Buddha, the heart of Kuan Yin and Mary. All of us have the heart of the Divine Mother and the Divine Father. But how many of us are humble enough to know that. Yes, humble enough. When I first began to get to know this heart and claimed it, when I first began to stand in my own autonomy and divinity, it felt slightly arrogant to me. But then I realized what's truly arrogant is living in separation. What's truly arrogant is saying, I'm not God. I'm this lowly human dirtbag, or I'm an arrogant, egoic prick. That's arrogant. That's true arrogance. But true humility, comes through not only getting to know the lowest aspects of your humanity, true humility comes from getting to know the highest and most wonderful and brilliant aspects of divinity that you are. It takes a humble individual to stand naked before God and realize they are looking in the mirror. All of us, if we are truly humble, if we take the time to come into the space of our hearts, to come into this space of love and see how brilliant, how bright the space of our heart is, we immediately bow before our own nature. We fall in love with our absolute divinity. And we see this divinity everywhere. Everywhere. And the beautiful thing about a great teacher is they can see the worst of the worst in themselves and in this world, and the highest of the highest in themselves and this world. And when you're able to see in that way, you are free. Free to see, free to be, free to relate fully. Because you see, it's all oneness. It's divinity in every direction. Now, of course, some of the levels of divinity are quite low, quite animalistic or samsaric. And some are the realms of the archangels, or the land of the Buddhas, and everything in between. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten this question. Craig, I would like to teach, but I don't feel qualified. I look at them and smile. We are always teaching. We are always transmitting. The question is, from what level, from what place are we transmitting? Are we transmitting the pain and judgment of our human heart? Are we transmitting our highest or our lowest? Do we need to make this big thing about being a teacher? Do we need to make a big thing about being a student? Because that's a whole nother disease. Especially in the world of non-duality, there's so many individuals who want to act like they know everything. and are unwilling to learn or directly experience anything unless it feels good. We are all students, eternally students. For God made an evolutionary world, a world of growth. To deny evolution is to deny God. And yes, it is paradoxical. You can admit to evolution and embrace evolution and simultaneously know the great perfection. The great perfection before anything was born or died or evolved. In Tibetan Buddhism, this great perfection is called the Prajnaparamita, Great Mother, pregnant with all phenomena. The space of eternal nirvana is pregnant with all phenomena. Pregnant with everything. Including huge cycles of evolution. Birth and death. Growth in every direction. And so, yes, to be a good teacher, to be a good healer, to be a good counselor, to be a good student of divinity, we realize we are always eternally students. That every level of existence is within us, from the highest to the lowest. That there is one mind, one heart, one humanity. When we truly know this, it's easy to live without judgment. It's easy to see when other people attack you, that they are simply struggling in samsara. It's easy to know when someone comes to you with PTSD, that the response is love. The response is compassion. They don't need something we read in a book or received at a training. What they need is simple. It's love. And that love may come through some great tool that we learned in yoga class or in our mindfulness-based stress reduction training class or whatever it is that we took. But what individuals are really looking for is another individual who's big enough to receive them. Who's comfortable with their pain, who's unfrightened by samsara. To be awake is to be unfrightened, not frightened by samsara. It's a willingness to sit with samsara with an open heart, to sit down with Mara and have a glass of tea. To sit down with your own pain and suffering and embrace it with love. It has nothing to do with dogma. It has nothing to do with what we read in a book. It has everything to do with the direct experience of love. In us, as us. And when we discover love in us, as us, we look out and we see it everywhere. Everywhere. And so this evening, I invite you all to join me in bowing our heads. It breaks my heart again on another Sunday evening was a shooting. a shooting at a church in Texas where many people ended their lives. And so we ask God, dear Lord, will you bless these individuals, these souls who are in transition? Welcome them home. Bless the victims and the offender. Bless our country and our collective consciousness that struggles with this issue of gun violence. Bless the friends and the families. Bless our entire world. Lord, give us the strength to step out of darkness and walk forward into your light, into your love. Bless us with the strength to be calm and patient and loving. Bless us with the strength to breathe into our anger, our sadness. Open our hearts to your love. Empty us out. Empty the pain and suffering and struggle out of us, Lord. Bless all of us here on earth, especially those struggling with violence, with war, of all kinds. Bless us who have heavy hearts. Take our pain from us and deliver us into the light, into your love. Make us conduits for your grace, for your peace, for your happiness and joy. It is in your name we pray. I want to thank you all again for joining me this evening. It's my absolute honor to be here. May all your hearts be blessed. May all of us open to the highest light, the highest love. May all of us be teachers, be leaders of the highest light in this world. May all of us step into our hearts and bring forth that which is good. Thank you all. May all of you have a wonderful evening. May peace be with you.